Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Thank you for hearing this bill.
Move the bill.
Excellent. SB 905, and we're happy to accept the committee's amendments, so thank you for those. This bill, I think for almost all of you, should be familiar because you heard it and passed it out last year in a broader form. This is a bill that will allow but not require local communities to decide for themselves whether and to what extent to allow their bars, nightclubs, and or restaurants, but not liquor stores, to extend service hours to 4 a.m. Last year, the bill applied to all communities in California. I learned that there are times, as much as cities sometimes don't want us to take away their local control, there are times when some cities don't want to receive local control either. That was a surprise to me. And so we have brought this bill back, limited to the seven cities whose city council or mayor has said to us, we would like to have this flexibility. California right now has a one-size-fits-all approach from 1935 that all liquor sales shall end at 2 a.m., whether you are in downtown Los Angeles or in the most rural part of California. It doesn't matter. It all shuts down at 2 a.m. It does not take into account that nightlife is different in different parts of our state, and that we want our local communities to be able to evaluate and decide for themselves whether to go later. Nightlife is a significant, not just economic driver, but cultural driver in California, and we should embrace it and allow it to flourish. We have built, and with this committee's help last year, significant guardrails around this bill. For a city that wants to extend its hours, the city council has to go through a public process, a stakeholder process, notify neighboring jurisdictions, come up with a public safety and a transportation plan, then submit its plan to ABC for sign-off. This is a very process-intensive endeavor. It is a five-year pilot program so that we can reevaluate it upon the expiration of the pilot program. So I respectfully ask for your aye vote. With me today is Michelle Reyes from Cal Travel, and Niccolo De Luca from the city of Oakland, which is one of the seven cities in the pilot. And by the way, the cities are Oakland, Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Long Beach, West Hollywood, and Palm Springs. So I respectfully ask for your aye vote. I'm waiting for the letter. Sula.
Okay, testimony and support.
Good afternoon, Chair, committee members. Michelle Reyes on behalf of the California Travel Association, also known as Cal Travel, in strong support of SB 905. And we want to thank the committee as well as the senator for his work on this issue. As the leading voice for the tourism industry here in California, we really love it when tourists come and visit our state, both domestic and international. However, we have realized that we are at a disadvantage with certain destination cities when it comes to items such as attracting conventions and other events. We believe this bill is a step in the right direction to help us with that disadvantage, and we ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Chairperson and members of the committee, Niccolo De Luca on behalf of Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff, in strong support. As the senator said, this is a pilot program. There will also be extensive local discussion, of course, with RPD and our neighbors. But more importantly, this is a major economic driver for our small businesses, the restaurants and the bars. So for, as an example, the Fox Theater, it's surrounded by 30 bars and restaurants in the Uptown District. After a show gets out, it could be around 11, 12 at night. The additional time is going to be a huge boon to those small business owners, and respectfully ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Additional testimony and support.
Maxine Mantel on behalf of the City of West Hollywood in support.
David Jones on behalf of Mayor Daryl Steinberg in support.
Matt Broad on behalf of the Teamsters and Unite here in support.
John Caldwell on behalf of the California Hotel and Lodging Association, strong support.
Alejandro Dan representing Uber in support.
Mike Monaghan on behalf of the City of San Francisco in support.
Okay. Any additional testimony and support? Seeing none, we'll move to testimony in opposition.
Um,
Yeah, I can. There are enough seats over here. Yeah, we're fine.
Okay, we're going to begin on the left over here, and we'll move to our right. So proceed with your testimony, sir.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Ramon Costablanc, professor, San Francisco State University. I am here to testify that we are presented with what is a gold standard in research in terms of what the impact of this bill will be. This bill will lead to increased harm, both in terms of car wrecks and all other related alcohol types of harms. This was found by the Centers for Disease Control. They used the highest standards that could be used for research on what the impact would be of keeping bars open an extra 2 hours. They looked at every major study that had been done that they could possibly consider, and what they found conclusively is that keeping the bars open another 2 hours will harm the communities both in and near where those bars are kept open. Now, I understand that this committee has been presented in the past with a piece of paper that showed the hours that certain states have for how long their bars stay open and the rate of alcohol-related car crashes. That is not research at all. That does not provide any kind of evidence that there is no harm. The matter is very complicated. There are many factors that that affect how alcohol, keeping bars open, affects the public health. It's not just the bars. In these states that we are being compared to, they could have different public transportation systems. They could have different law enforcement systems. They could have different speed limits. They could have different laws about using drugs. There's all kinds of things that affect a state's rate of alcohol-related car crashes. A bill that simply compares, or a piece of paper that simply shows the car crashes in the state and the alcohol laws as to how late bars could stay open doesn't show you anything at all. You have solid evidence from the CDC, from the highest research you could possibly have. This bill will cost lives.
Hi, Dr. Mark Horton. I'm a chair and other honorable members of the committee. I'm a pediatrician, former health officer for the County of Orange, and a former state health officer and director of the California Department of Public Health. I'm here testifying on behalf of the 61 physician local health officer members of the Health Officers Association of California and the hundreds of public health professional members of the California Public Health Association North. Public health role vis-a-vis the public policy development is to carefully review scientific evidence, allowing us to assess the potential impact on the citizens of changes to public policy being proposed through legislation, and to ensure that you as legislators have the facts before making a decision. The potential health impact of 905 is clear. Over 40 years of peer-reviewed scientific data confirms that extending alcohol sales to 4 a.m. would mean more intoxicated drivers on the road, more DUI crashes, more personal injuries, ER visits, more deaths, more violent crime. This health burden would be borne not just by the residents of the pilot counties, but by those of surrounding counties into which late-night drinkers may travel. Your job as legislators is to weigh this potential health burden against the potential benefits to the special interests supporting the bill, including the alcohol industry and local businesses selling alcohol to customers into the early morning. In doing so, I urge you to consider that public health is not simply another special interest. It is the best expression of society's interest in the common good, in assuring the conditions in which every individual can achieve maximum health. As such, we believe that health considerations should always trump the financial benefits of special interests in considering changes in public policy. It's health versus profits. The choice should be easy. No on 905. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Lynn Brown. I'm the program manager and law enforcement liaison for Mothers Against Drunk Driving in Sacramento. MAD California opposes Senate Bill 905. California should retain a uniform bar closing time to help prevent bar hopping to find one last drink at an establishment with a later closing time. With this bill, neighboring cities could face a spillover effect, an increased demand on law enforcement, and the resources needed to keep roads safe. We've also heard the argument that extending bar hours would eliminate the crowds of people and a potential rush of drunk drivers leaving the bars at 2 a.m. Quite frankly, our roads are relatively unoccupied at 2 a.m. as compared to 4 and 5 a.m. California still had over 1,000 fatalities on our roadways in 2016 due to DUI crashes. That's a 16.2% increase over 2015. This legislation will put freshly impaired drivers on the road at the time of day when commuters, carpools taking children to school, highway workers, and other travelers are beginning to fill our roadways. Again, the vast majority of research does not indicate that extending hours would make us safer. Rather, the research shows the opposite. In 2016, there were 10,497 people killed on our nation's highways due to DUI crashes. An average of one alcohol-impaired driving fatality occurs every 50 minutes. So for every 50 minutes that we sit here, someone is being killed in an impaired driving crash. And remember, these aren't just numbers. These aren't numbers at all. They're human beings. They're people with families, with friends, with loved ones. They're people like you and like me. This bill has the potential to increase the number of tragedies on California's roads. Mothers Against Drunk Driving respectfully urges our California legislators to vote no on Senate Bill 905. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Carson Benowitz-Fredericks. I'm here from Alcohol Justice. The fact that extending last call times causes harm is really not up for debate. We have research, independent and peer-reviewed, from four continents, looking at half a century of data. All of it demonstrates this. The discussion starts, but importantly, does not end with inebriated crashes. So California is in a pretty much unacknowledged crash crisis. The most recent OTS report had intoxicated fatalities up 20% over the last 2 years. These are very dramatic ends to a night out, and there we'll see more of them with later last call times, according to international evidence systematically reviewed by over a dozen American public health experts, that is the CDC committee that Dr. Castle-Blanche was referring to. In this case, common sense aligns with the research. Both common sense and research show that party hotspots attract people. Even if they can't budget for car service, they will drink more than if the bar closed at 2, they will be more exhausted when driving home, and that will lead to more DUIs and more crashes. But crashes are not the only harm. They're not even the chief harm. The evidence of spikes in injuries and crime is overwhelming. We've seen this in New York. There's a study that New York has the sort of local control state that we're supposed to see as an ideal. And there that extra hour open after each extra hour after 1 a.m. leads to significantly more violent crimes. I believe it's almost 5 per 100,000 residents. And the total cost of this is $200 million annually. This analysis does not even include New York City. You can look elsewhere in Norway. There was a patchwork of extended and retracted last call times. Every hour which was extended added 17% to the rate of assaults. Every hour is retracted, decreased assaults by 21%. In Amsterdam, which most people would see as a global city, they created, in fact, exactly the same kind of party zones that this bill would create, and saw that those resulted in a 34% increase in late night ambulance calls. These figures are just a small sample of the 40 or 50 that are widely referred to by experts. So with that in mind, we object to some of the sort of misuse of scientific terms in this bill. This is not really a pilot, and this is not really local control. So in this issue, the entire point is to get more people to the cities that have late last call times and to get them to spend more money on alcohol. These people then drink more, go back home. Some of them are drunk, some of them are violent, some crash. The harms of this bill do not stay local, though the revenues certainly will stay local. No, the harms, in fact, splash over all the surrounding communities. And how many surrounding communities? A pilot is supposed to be a small-scale study that looks at impacts and how to mitigate them. This pilot affects 5 of the largest 10 cities in California. If you take their combined census areas, that is about 76% of the population. It doesn't even specify how it will measure harm or mitigate the harms that emerge, and it definitely does not bother funding data collection or analysis. There is no evidence that California exceptionalism means we're immune to alcohol harm. Please take this opportunity to stop this reckless experiment. It is California Californian lives on the line. Thank you for your time.
Okay, we'll take additional testimony in opposition.
Yes, Bruce Livingston, and I've been asked to express the opposition of Institute for Public Strategies of San Diego County and Barbary Coast Neighborhood Association of San Francisco.
Thank you.
Sarah Cooley, I'm here to express opposition from the California Alcohol Policy Alliance. Thank you.
Tom Renfrey with the California Behavioral Health Directors Association in opposition.
Good afternoon. Dr. Jim Cooley with the California Friday Night Live Partnership, representing young people in 50 of our 58 counties who are concerned that this will be good for business, but good for business in the emergency rooms, for ABC, and for law enforcement. So we would suggest this is not the best choice.
Mr. Chairman, members, Reverend James Butler from the California Council on Alcohol Problems and Alcohol Narcotic Education Foundation in opposition.
Thank you, Chair and members. Gianna Citude on behalf of the Alameda County Board of Supervisors and Supervisor Nate Miley opposed.
Mark Carlson, Lutheran Office of Public Policy in opposition. There is no revenue associated with this. The costs of harm are enormous. I worked as a state firefighter over three decades as an engine operator. I've seen firsthand what happens when cars or trucks hit PG&E poles. And I've seen firsthand what happens just after the bars close when somebody's going home and they gently drift into the grass with a hot muffler. The end result does not look good and it does not smell good. Thank you.
Fred Jones, I've been asked to come and speak on behalf of the Wall Los Memorias Project, Los Angeles, as well as the West Alameda County Alcohol, Marijuana, and Prescription Drug Coalition in opposition.
Mr. Chair, Justin Fanzal on behalf of Lyft. I apologize that I missed the support testimony, but Lyft is in support. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any additional testimony in opposition? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and bring it back to the members for questions. Mr. Gibson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is to the author, to whoever can answer this question. I understand it has a five-year sunset. Is that true? That's part of the bill? And after the 5 years, I'm assuming you're gathering facts and information. What is the process in which that information will be shared with this body, the legislative body?
Yes, thank you, Assemblyman. So at the end of the, at the conclusion of the, or near the end of the five-year pilot, there will be a report back to the legislature, and the legislature will then evaluate whether to extend it, expand it, terminate it, or whatever, but that'll be up to this body after the five-year pilot.
Will it come back to this committee? We may not be here, but will it come back to this committee for review?
It'll come to the entire legislature, and then, of course, there would need to be additional legislation to potentially extend the pilot, and that report and data would be part of the legislative record.
Great. My next question, if I may, from the chair. What happens if we move this time from 2 a.m., which is presently the law, to 11 o'clock? Will that change any outcomes in your mind?
I'm sorry, if the bill did that or if a community did it?
No, if we were to change the changes today,
well,
will it change issues or
yeah.
DUIs or fatalities and things of that nature? Will that decrease?
So, and to be clear, right now, local communities have the ability to stop alcohol service before 2 a.m., and there are plenty of communities where it stops at 10, 11 at night or even earlier. So right now it's up to 2 a.m.
Right.
And so we do have there are communities around the state with earlier closing times. In terms of, you know, we I know it's been apparently dismissed here today, but the data is real that when you compare the 50 states and their closing time versus DUI collision rates, there is zero correlation. There are some states that go later than California or later than 2 a.m. that have some of the lowest DUI collision rates. There are some early closure states that have very high. There's no correlation one way or the other. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Whether you're closing at 10 or midnight or 2 a.m. or 4 a.m., there is a certain subset of people that are going to act recklessly and are going to leave a bar drunk and get into their car. And it does not matter when the service ends. They're going to go out, they're going to drink, and they're going to do what they're going to do. I want to say, and I mentioned this to the committee when I presented this bill last year, this is a very personal issue for me. When I was 6 years old, my aunt, my father's only sibling, was killed by a drunk driver in New Jersey in the 1970s when the DUI laws were horrible in terms of holding people accountable. It changed our family forever. I'm extremely sensitive to this issue, and if I would not be proposing a bill to increase DUIs. And I do not think, and I don't think that the data shows, that later closing time means more DUIs. If you scaled everything back in California back to 11, you would still have DUIs. People would go out earlier. And you know, when we talk about, I'm very sensitive also to the health impacts of alcohol. Alcohol absolutely has health impacts. And I think if you look at people who are going to liquor stores and buying liquor and drinking at home or elsewhere versus someone at an electronic dance music, an EDM party at 3 o'clock in the morning buying a $15 cocktail, which is contributing more to our health crisis, it's not even in the same universe. I think there's been so much hyperbole about the fire and brimstone that's supposedly going to come down on us. If seven cities have the option of saying, on this street or in this neighborhood, or maybe a few nights a year, we're going to let people stay out later. It's been some of the most extreme hyperbole I have seen around any bill. So there are real impacts. DUI is so important to reduce the number of DUIs, to address the health impacts of alcohol. Having some clubs go a couple hours later is not going to be a meaningful part of that equation, but it will allow people to enjoy their communities more.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. I think you've answered at least my question very thoroughly. I know you've worked extremely hard in terms of getting us to this particular point. It's a voluntary too. The city councils also have to adopt, and I was reading in the bill where a committee is in fact established, where there's a highway patrol officer or someone from the highway patrol department as well as local PD that's involved in terms of the shaping up and things of that nature. And so that's very, very important to me. So that answers all of my questions at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblyman.
Mr. Lowe and then Mr. Johnsor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I had a question for our professor and the public health representative in opposition, who also provided the statistics and data. And the question was, when was the last time that you went out at drinking at night or a beverage at nighttime? Approximately what time would you go?
Personally? Hard to remember. Been a long time since I've been out drinking. Now, I lived in New York City for a while, and I do remember the screaming and the fights and all the commotion on the corners at 4 a.m. I was on the 10th floor, and I couldn't really get to sleep until after 4 a.m. because of all the fights and shouting going on down on the streets.
Sure. So in terms of the data or the personal experiences that you have, it's been quite some time. You don't recall the last time that you may have gone out for a beverage, and similar as we're talking about the issue area that is pertinent to the policy that we're talking about right now. Is that accurate?
Well, what's pertinent is the research of the CDC, and what that shows conclusively is that there is harm in keeping the bars open later.
Okay. Because I would share that it's been my observation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but individuals that typically would go out, should they go out at 10 o'clock in these establishments, it would be quite empty. And as a millennial, it's been my observation that I've seen individuals typically going out at 11:30 or 12 o'clock. And when that occurs, last call may be at 1:30. So we're only talking about an hour and a half to consume your beverage or two or however many you would consume. And the concern that I would have, and I'm curious to your response, is that with such a small, short period window of time, that it does not allow for individuals, it's actually counterintuitive to what you were suggesting, which is to, if we were to support the bill and allow for an extended period of time, individuals don't, as you mentioned, feel like they need to chug down and continue to find an opportunity to consume at such a fast pace, rather than they have opportunity to absorb that alcohol and or have that other period of time and or other to cool down before they are going onto the streets. But I don't know if you had any other conflicting evidence to best indicate that, in fact, in actuality, that is not the case in current reality and existence, if you've ever experienced going out currently today.
Well, my anecdotal evidence, or the anecdotal evidence of anybody here, is not really relevant. What's relevant is what the research is from the CDC, and the CDC has found there is harm in keeping the bars open another 2 hours. That's the science.
Okay.
Same comment.
Okay, Mr. Jones Sawyer.
And I want to thank you for bringing this forward. I think this is long overdue. We've been at this for 50 years, and 50 years ago, I don't think we even had seatbelts. I mean, the laws back then, if you're going to compare what our laws were and the accident rate 50 years ago compared to now, and I will align myself with some of the comments that my younger colleague, millennial colleague, says. I have a millennial son who has, on occasion, he's 26, on occasion, he's called me and said that he's inebriated at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm freaking out. And he'd tell me, I took an Uber, Dad. So even our patterns of how we drink as opposed to back in 79 when I probably got inebriated, I know I got in the car. And so absolutely, I was a problem. But I have a feeling now, based on what my colleague is saying, that young people's patterns of how they drink have dramatically changed. In addition, I've been in other states like Florida, where everybody in the car can have an open container, and as long as the driver is not drinking, that's legal. I've been in Louisiana where you can pull up and get a margarita like a drive-through, like a Taco Bell. And so I've seen some really abhorrent ways of doing this, and I don't see that in your bill, especially since you're talking about gathering data. That was going to be my question. I'm glad my colleague from Carson asked about that, because I think L.A. and the other cities will be perfect examples of how we can actually look at this and see what needs to be done or how we can improve it. The other thing is, also being from Los Angeles, local control. I believe the local jurisdictions, the local council people will come up with will develop a plan working with CHP and others so that it'll be the safest possible situation going from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. And that gives me a lot of sense of security that they're not just going to open the floodgates. They're going to be very, very deliberate in their thinking and how they actually open up and allow these establishments to stay open. And so you've kind of answered my questions, and I'll just leave you with this. Every Monday since I've been elected, I take the first flight out of L.A. Sometimes it's 5:10 in the morning. Sometimes it's 6 in the morning. I'm on the road at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. It's almost deserted. And I don't see any problems that maybe other people are alluding to, because I can't see that many people out there even now. And so it will be great to see further what you get after 5 years of study, whether or not that changes, because I actually plan to be here for the next 5 years and Good. See what happens. So thank you.
Okay, do we have additional questions and comments from the members? You know, I'd like to, first of all, thank you, Senator, for your diligence and work on this issue. We've worked together several years on this subject. Your collaboration with this committee, I think last year we took 18, 20 amendments to the bill. We certainly got into the weeds and made some important refinements. And I would argue that we continue to refine the bill this year with the report back limiting the scope of the bill with select number of cities that have local support for some local control on the subject, whether it be, as you said, for a district, a few nights a year, or something larger, and that report would then come back to the legislature to be reviewed. And we may want to consider adding an amendment to ensure that both policy committees in both houses receipt of that information and those reports so that we can further refine this issue. Like Mr. Jones Sawyer, I too plan on being here in 5 years and asking you these questions. To the witnesses, I appreciate the concerns raised. I think many of those concerns, or certainly the spirit behind those concerns, are at the core of the amendments we've made so that we're properly addressing this issue and taking seriously any issues that could develop and monitoring those issues and addressing them if necessary. I'm familiar with the data that the senator shared with the committee. Certainly seems to suggest there's at bare minimum a lack of consistency or pattern. I know we've cited a lot of other studies. Some comments have been made. I know we talked about drunk driving and the incremental or spike in recent statistics there. It'd be great if you could submit to the committee for our review and our records those statistics over the last 10 to 15 years and any relation between committee or communities rather that have earlier hours versus late, and so that we can further establish that. And Alcohol Justice provided a report to the committee members for review. There was some reference, and I'll direct this question to the gentleman from Alcohol Justice, about international circumstances. And I think you referenced Amsterdam. I didn't hear if you referenced any other specific countries. I don't see that in this particular report that you've provided. But if you want to provide the committee with further information on that subject, I think that would be helpful in understanding the outcomes and any changes that have occurred as a result of those outcomes in policy throughout the world on this subject. So if you'd be kind enough to provide that information for further review. And Senator, appreciate your continued effort to refine the bill and taking the committee amendments today. And with that, we have a motion from Mr. Jones Sawyer, a second from Mr. Lowe, and we have a do pass as amended to appropriations. Secretary, please call the roll.
May I close, Mr. Sawyer?
Certainly, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, first of all, thank you for all the comments and questions. One thing I just want to note, I think sometimes when it comes to nightlife, it's tempting to take a very narrow view of what it is. We've heard here today from some of the opponents that this bill is just about a bunch of I think it was called special interests, which is I think what they're referring to is the small businesses that employ a lot of people and that, God forbid, make money from being open as a business. We of course focus legitimately on public health and public safety, which this bill does, to make sure that there's good planning around safety in particular. And of course, that is always an aspect of nightlife we need to be on the lookout for. But nightlife is not just about businesses making money and bad things happening in terms of safety or health. Nightlife doesn't exist unless you have people who want to go out and be with their community and celebrate and have a good time. That's what it's about. And when I think about my experience, and I know Mr. Lowe will probably second this, when I was a lot younger than I am today as a young gay man, the nightlife was where I found my community. And the LGBT community is not the only community where our nightlife venues have played an important role in our culture. When you look at the African American community historically as well, these are places where we go and establish and create and find community. And you know, recently, a couple months ago, I was in my neighborhood supermarket doing food shopping. And I was checking out, and the cashier was a young man who said to me, he said, "Hey, I want to thank you for doing that nightlife bill. I get off of work at midnight, and by the time I get home and change and get to the bar, it's about 1:15, and I usually have about a half an hour to go out." He said, "So thank you for understanding that people like me exist. Not everyone works a 9-to-5 job. Not everyone goes to bed as early as I go to bed. These days. Sometimes we have to step out of our own experiences and recognize that different people experience the world differently. And that's really what this is about, letting people have their fun and do their thing in a responsible way. So I respectfully ask for an aye vote."
Okay, members, this is due pass as amended appropriations. Secretary, please call the roll.
Gray?
Aye.
Gray, aye. Bigelow?
No.
Bigelow, no. Acosta?
No.
Acosta, no. Aguiar Curry?
Aye.
Aguiar Curry, aye. Berman?
Aye.
Berman, aye. Bonta?
Aye.
Bonta, aye. Cooley?
No.
Cooley, no. Cooper?
Not voting.
Cooper, not voting. Daly? Gallagher? Gallagher, no. Eduardo Garcia? Gibson?
Aye.
Gibson, aye. Gloria?
Aye.
Gloria, aye. Joan Sawyer?
Aye.
Joan Sawyer, aye. Kylie?
Aye.
Kylie, aye. Lackey?
No.
Lackey, no. Levine?
No.
Levine, no. Lowe?
Aye.
Lowe, aye. Rubio?
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Solis? Waldron?
Okay, Senator, that bill needs one more.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, colleagues.